Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, Isaiah 28, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 736. We'll read the first six verses of this chapter, taking note of the fourth verse, the text verse, for this morning's message. Isaiah 28, verses 1 through 6, page 736 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Of course, will you read the verses responsibly? Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is the fading flower, that you're on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty, which is on the head of the fat valley, shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you that we've had the blessed opportunity of possessing a copy of your word. Thank you that we live in freedom, the freedom to read, to believe, the freedom to gather, all because of this book. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that thou, O Holy Spirit, would meet with us in power today, that the reading and the preaching of your word might be that which we need. There are many needs represented by so many people. Please, in a miraculous way, meet every need. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read for you before I pray one passage that we read a while ago. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley. That means the valley, listen to me now, that means the valley that is producing a lot of fruit. The glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley. In other words, a good crop is a beautiful thing to look down upon. Shall be as a fading flower and as the hasty fruit. That's my title. I'm speaking this morning on hasty fruit. Before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. 2 weeks ago I preached a message that's a little bit kindred to this one this morning. In fact, this is sort of a suffix to it, and it's a very practical sermon. But I promise you this, especially you young couples, if you listen to what I'm going to say this morning and heed what I say, I promise you that your life will be richer, your marriage happier, and your journey to... I'm talking this morning about happiness, not joy. Joy comes, it's a spiritual thing that comes from God. But happiness comes from the word happen, whatever happens to you. Happiness is, happiness is when you eat a thick steak that is just right. Happiness is when you kiss your wife. Some of you fellows are getting happier now. But, happiness are the events of life, cause happiness. I have a joy going down in my heart. That's a gift from God. Joy is from the Lord. Happiness is caused by your activities on life. In life, happiness is temporal. Now, it says, as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is in his hand, he eateth it up. Our Heavenly Father, I surely want to be a blessing this morning, and I really believe nobody's going to tingle because of this sermon, and nobody's going to shout.
and nobody's going to feel like they're on a mountaintop. But we can lay some plans this morning and ways of life and manner of life that can make us enjoy many mountaintops in days, months, and years to come. So may the people listen and give me a alertness and power as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I have an outline, as you probably know. I'm doing something this morning I rarely ever do. I'm going to start in the back of the outline, because when I made the outline, I plan to follow a course of logic, and I'm going to reverse that logic so that you women can understand it this morning. I think I'm in trouble, but I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to say a few concluding things, but don't get your shoes on yet, because the conclusion's coming before the introduction. Everything, and this is a statement you've heard before, heard me make several times, everything worthwhile is earned, then received. Everything not worthwhile is received and then earned. And say it again. Everything is worthwhile. You can determine whether something is worthwhile or not by whether you earn it first and then get it. But something that is not worthwhile is something that you get first and then you earn it. This statement also. God gives his reward at the end. Satan gives his at the beginning. Say it again. God gives his reward at the first. Satan gives his at the beginning. Let me make this other statement by way of introduction or conclusion, whichever you want to take it. Think about this. All God's promises are after your conditions. For example, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then, get that word then, after you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and shall be given you. God never said, promise me that you will abide in me through for so many years and let my word abide in you for so many years and I'll answer your prayers now. See, God does not give things on credit. You pay for it first, then God gives it to you. Don't leave me now. Put your pencils and pens up. I'm preaching to you. It's not a classroom lecture session. Nobody taking notes. Look right this way. For example, Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and leaf all sorts not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at me. Put your pens and pencils up. I'm talking to you now. Look out this way. Listen to me. I got something you need to hear. And you young folks, you really need to hear it, because you're dumber than most of us. And I want you to hear what I got to say now. Listen carefully. God does not say, if you'll promise me that you'll not walk in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but if you will promise me you delight in the law of the Lord, and promise me you'll meditate there and day and night, then I will give you now prosperity. No, the prosperity follows you meeting God's condition. God's promises aren't on credit. God says, you do this first, then I. You, then I. God doesn't say, I'll give it to you now. If you'll promise me, you'll do it. Other scriptures. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Didn't say, if you'll promise me, you'll delight in me, I'll give thee the desires. No, you delight in him first, and then he gives you the desires of your heart. Over and over again, the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then, after that my people have humbled themselves and prayed and sought my face and turned from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal the land. God doesn't say, if you'll promise me that you'll humble yourself and pray and seek my face, and turn you to raise, you promise me, I'll go ahead now, and I'll forgive your sins and heal your land. No, the healing of the land comes after you have met God's conditions. Now, that's always God's order. I don't care where, if it's education. You don't get a cheap education. It takes time to get the education, and the diploma comes afterwards. I pick up sometimes papers, and I'll say, write for a degree. You heard about the, it so happened, it's a black preacher, true story. He saw a sign, in our advertisement said, for $200 you can get a DD, a degree. He sent 100, so I'll take one D now, I'll buy the next D at the end of the month. Now, the truth is, God doesn't do that. You fellows that want to get smart quick and go out and build a church, you'll flop quick too, quickly also. Now, God's plan is always that the end is rewarding time. All right. Now let's go to the sermon, doesn't care. I'm going to make 10 statements this morning and take about 15 minutes per statement, so listen carefully. Number one, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Young people, don't miss it. Young married couples, by all means, don't miss it. Statement number one, there are two joys that God gives us in life. Two joys. Joy number one, achieving. Joy number two, achievement. Or let me put it this way, joy number one, acquiring. Joy number two, acquisition. Now, those are the two joys in life. Planning to get something. Oh, man, I'm going to get married in 6 months, he says. And I'm getting everything already. That's happiness. But if you run off and get married in the Office of Justice of the Peace, what you've done is you have acquired, but you have not had the joy of acquiring. You follow me? Well, then act like it. Look like it. All right? So, two joys. Don't miss it. Two joys in life. One is achieving and then achievement, or another way, acquiring and acquisition. Statement number two, God also gives the proper order. God's order is achieving and then achievement. God's order is acquiring and then acquisition. God's order is that you get the money, then pay for it. That's God. Boy, nobody can say amen on that one, can they? You're burning up your hip there in the left rear pocket with all those credit cards you got there right now. I said, like it or not, believe it or not, God's divine order is acquiring and then acquisition. Most every sin a person commits is going against God's divine order. This is an old sermon. What I'm going to say right now is an old sermon. God's divine order. For example, sin is almost always improper order of good. God's divine order, for example, is salvation, baptism, church membership, Lord's Supper. That's God's divine order. All right? So you got salvation over here, then you got baptism, then you got church membership, then you got Lord's Supper. Now, if you call the Lord's Supper a sacrament and say it helps you get to heaven, you're coming back over here and you're putting the Lord's Supper before salvation as a part of salvation, and that becomes sin. Or if you take church membership over here, which is a good thing, but you come over here and say you got to join the church before you can be saved, you're taking something good, placing it in its wrong order, and most sin is that way. Same thing is true about sex. God's proper order is love, marriage, sex, and children. Love, marriage, sex, and children. Now, you take marriage and put it here before love, that wrecked your life. Or you take sex and put it over here before love, before marriage, and that'll wreck your life. Nothing wrong with these things unless they're in the wrong order. Now, God's divine order, for example, is earn and then buy. Earn and then buy. That's God's divine order. Now, you come over here and put the buy before the earning, and you got it out of order, and you made a mistake. Now, so, God also gives us the proper order. God's proper order is acquiring and then acquisition. You follow me? Acquiring and then acquisition. That's God's order. You don't get it till you earn it. That's God's order. All right? Number three. I said number one, there are two joys that God has for us in life. Number one, acquiring. Number two, acquisition. Or, if you prefer, number one, achieving. And number two, achievement. I said number two, God gives us the proper order. Acquiring first, then acquisition second. Number three, listen carefully. Hear me carefully. Oh, listen to this. In our society, a perversion has taken place. We now can have one without the other. We now can acquire, get acquisition before we go through the process of acquiring. They call them credit cards. I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. Listen to me. Hey, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. Got something to tell you. Not up here just to make a salary. I'm here to help you. And I need you to listen to me. I said, in our society, now it wasn't this way 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you had to earn before you bought. I'll prove it to you. You know what we used to have when I was a boy? It was called layaway. And I believe in that. You went down and bought a watch. They took that watch and they placed that watch in a special place in that jewelry store. And you paid $1 a week until that watch was paid for. Now you could buy a good watch in those days for $20. I'm talking about a Benrus or a Boulevard or something like that for $20. But you didn't get it, you paid for it. Now that's when America had some character. Your lady would go down and she'd see a coat. She needed a coat. And maybe it'd be getting close to winter time, she'd buy a coat. She'd get it paid for by the time summer got there. But the honest, simple truth is, she didn't get that coat, listen to me, till she made the last payment. And America is being ruined today because we want to reach out and get the acquisition before we go through the joy and happiness of acquiring. I said, number one, there are two happinesses that God gives us in life. I'm going to use the word joys, and that's erroneous, but joy and happiness I'm using synonymously this morning. There are two joys that God has given us in life, achieving an achievement or acquiring an acquisition. Number two, He gives us the divine order. God's order is earn it first and get it second. God's order is acquiring and then acquisition. I said number three, in our society, all of us can have one now. We can, because of credit cards and credit, we can have acquisition before we have acquiring. Number four, if out of order, get this now, achieving is no longer a joy. Because it's after the acquisition. Now follow me. Here's a person that's going to buy something, and boy, you don't understand it. I don't know how many couples come to me about to get divorces because they're fussing over finances. Now you listen to me, listen, check back yonder 50, 60 years ago and see what the divorce rate was in America. Check and see. And check and see now. It may be you'll listen to somebody that lived 60 years ago that could see the difference. So here's a person. His house. Of course, we've been married 52 years, but she's only 35 years old. But let's suppose she puts a dress on layaway. She goes down, she pays $1 this week, and she says, boy, I'm $1 closer to that dress. Boy, I'm going to get that dress. Puts $1 next week, I'm $1 closer. And by the way, it's a joy looking forward to getting that dress. And then when that dress is paid for, she gets the dress. Now, hear me carefully. There are two joys she had. The acquiring and the acquisition. But she goes down and she buys that dress on credit with a credit card and pays 18% to 21% interest. She gets the acquisition, that's fun. But the acquiring is later, and that's drudgery. If you've already got the dress and the thing's worn out and you're still making payments on it, you don't have any fun. But if you're looking forward to getting the dress, you've got fun. Now listen to me, you're going to wreck your life, wreck your marriage, and then you're going to go down to apply for bankruptcy someday, which means some crooked lawyer is going to help you be dishonest, and you're going to face God someday because you've been dishonest and crooked. You better know it's good. It's only good, it's great. I said, if out of order, achieving becomes tedious. Achieving can be happy if you have not, I'm sorry, acquiring can be happy if you are acquiring before you get the acquisition. But you get the acquisition first, then you earn later, the payment is tedious, and you've robbed yourself of one of the two joys. Now listen carefully. Watch me. Here's the acquiring. Suppose I'm saving money to buy there's a couple saving money to buy a washing machine. And laundromat is not a dirty word for young couples. Go to the laundromat and save money so you can buy a washing machine rather than buy it now and paying for it later. Well, ain't nobody here on my side but Jeff this morning. Thank God for you, Jeff. Bless God. Remind me to give you a raise tomorrow. You guys with me now, aren't you? Now, follow me carefully. If you save for 3 years to buy yourself a washing machine and or a dryer, you look forward to the day when you get it. Boy, you can't wait. You're acquiring, and that acquiring is fun. Then you get the acquisition, and that's fun, too. But now, wait a minute. The having of it is not the fun. You haven't shouted this morning because you have a washing machine. You haven't shouted because you have a dryer. But if you had been going to the laundromat for 3 years while you were saving, then you get that washing machine and dryer, and boy, the acquisition is fun. But you'll get adjusted to it. The having is not the fun. You haven't shouted because you have it. You shouted when you got it. And you enjoy it. If you did what was God's order, you save until you could get it. So the acquiring is long enjoyment, and the acquisition is immediate enjoyment and temporary. So if you get the acquisition, are you listening? If you get the acquisition before you do the acquiring, not only are you robbing yourself of one of the two enjoyments, but you're robbing yourself of the long enjoyment. Number five, then most of life is tedious because acquiring is so much longer of the two. Now get this stuff straight, it's going to shock you. Number six, when out of order, when the acquisition comes before the acquiring, or the achievement comes before the achieving, when out of order, the price of the achievement or the acquisition is more. That is me. Brother Keith McKinney, help me on this. I asked Brother Keith to check for me what it would cost if I spent $5,000 on a credit card. Now, it so happens that most interest on credit cards between 18 and 21, of course, they hook you in and say for the first year, if you'll come to us, we'll let you have a 5.9, but the second year is going to come. Please don't walk around while I'm talking. Have a seat. Listen to me. But keep beginning to check with me. You go down tomorrow, spend $5,000 on your credit card. How many of you, okay, I have to have a credit card because I can't rent a car without one. I use American Express, and you pay that at the end of the month. But wait a minute. So I have a credit card. How many of you have a credit card? I'm not going to criticize you. Okay, thank you. All right. How many of you, your credit card, mine is for over 5,000. How many of you is for over 5,000? All right, that's most everybody. All right, listen carefully. You go down tomorrow and you spend $5,000 on your credit card and make the minimum payment. You know what you'll pay back? I'll read it here. $30,078. Did you hear me? Go down and spend $5,000 on your credit card and make the minimum payment. That's why they don't want you making a big payment. You'll pay $25,078 interest, and it will take you 30 years to pay it off. So go down when you get married and buy you some, get some used furniture. And then start saving for your new furniture. And you will enjoy saving every time you look at that old sofa that's padding is sticking out. And your padding is right there on that padding, but every time you'll say, oh, just 3 more years and we'll have a whole house full of new furniture. What you want to do, and you listen, here's the trouble, you want to go down, take out a little stinking credit card and buy yourself $5,000 of furniture and pay for it for 30 years and pay $30,078, and that's according to the interest at NBD Bank today. Credit card. Their interest today is 20%, right? 20%. So what happens? You can, hear me now, you save that $5,000. You know how long it takes you to save that $5,000? 5 years. and then buy what you're going to buy for $5,000. And then leave you $25,000 to buy a new car. Sit still. You're crazy. You're retarded. You're idiots. And I'm fired. But you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Well, I gotta have it. Well, brother, if you gotta have it, you don't have to have anything. Those of us who are older lived in houses that had wood stoves, get your wood stove. Those of us that are older, we live in houses that had kerosene lamps and lanterns. Turn your electricity off. Get your kerosene lamp or lantern. We Miss Howes and I, for the first 3 years we got married, we couldn't afford a car. We walked where we had, or took a bus if we could. We didn't have a car. Why? We couldn't afford a car, that's why. Well, I'm going to preach on heaven tonight and get you back with me. But I'm telling you why some of you aren't happy. I'm telling you why most of you are not going to be happy. I said, number one, there are two joys God has given us in life, acquiring and acquisition. I said, number two, He also gives us the proper order, acquiring first, acquisition second, or achieving first, achievement second. Number three, in our society, all of us can have one of the two if we choose. That's the acquisition because we can go down and buy it on credit. I said, number four, if out of order, achieving becomes a tedious task, instead of present. I said, number five, the most of life is tedious because of acquiring. I said, number six, when out of order, the price of the achievement is more. Number seven, acquiring should be spaced over a lifetime. This house and I live in a nice home. First seven places we live were one room or apartments. For the first time we owned a house made out of brick was when we moved to Hammond, Indiana, and I was almost 33 years old. I was pastor of the fastest growing church in the world, and our offerings were excellent, tremendous, and we chose to live in a little house that would sell now for $45,000. We chose that. Why? Because we wanted someday to save that nicer house. Now listen, young people, listen carefully. When you get married, don't go out and buy you a $100,000 house. Get you a little starter house somewhere. Something that you can get for $50,000, $55,000 in a payment of maybe $500 a month rather than all over America, all this area. Look at the houses they're building. Anybody see any $75,000 houses being built? No. The $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 house. Why? That's exactly why the woman ought to be home taking care of the kids. She goes out to work and lets the kids be reared by somebody else. Comes home, she's worn out, and most of these houses are inhabited by unhappy marriages and unhappy people and wayward children because we have broken God's divine order of wanting acquisition before we acquire. Number eight. You can have so many more acquisitions if you keep them in order. Suppose you wait 5 years. The payments on $5,000 at NBD Bank credit card for 30 years, $86. That $86 put aside can be about $1,000 a year, almost exactly $1,000 a year. You save that five, you say, Brother Howes, I had to have it. No, you didn't have to have it. Well, Brother Howes, the kids have got to have clothes for school. That woman right there, I told you the other day, that woman right there is married before she got a new dress. You know why? Her dad was in the feed business and the feed sacks in those days, they had designs on them and patterns, floral patterns and so forth. And every dress she owned, her mother made it out of those feed sacks. Now, if she wore the thing some of you ladies want to have the month after you get married, she wouldn't be enjoying wearing the nice clothes she has now. And one reason she has nice clothes now, we're not paying out a 30-year credit card. But you save that $86 for 5 years. You got $5,000. Buy what you want, and you got $25,000 in interest, you say, that you can buy yourself what you want to buy. Boy, this is good. Some of you guys that normally say amen are saying, ouch. By the way, let me say this. You know who ought to listen to this the most carefully? Women. If your husband loves you, he wants to give you anything you want. And if you don't watch out, you'll want this and want that. And let me say this again. I said it often. You have no right to have today what it took Mama 30 years to get. Ms. Hiles and I went to Europe last year. Our flight was free, first class flight, free because of my frequent travelers. I say, where'd you get the money for the cruise? Well, we first got married. Our vacations were around the block. We took a vacation and married about 7 years to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Had $56. Drove to Hot Springs, not a very long drive from Garland, Texas. Went to one of those jewelry auctions. Oh, I knew it. I spent $52 for a stupid ring they said that Baby Snooks had. A famous radio program years ago. Found out Baby Snooks had 55,000 rings. We had to go home immediately after buying the stupid ring because we only had $4 left. But we went to Hot Springs because we couldn't afford to go anywhere else but Hot Springs. Instead of taking a trip to Europe now while you're 25 and then paying for it the rest of your life, save for it for a few years and then take it. Oh, this is so good. I feel like I'm on an island stranded. No, I feel like I'm in jail and you come to visit me or something. Number 9, as I said a while ago, all of God's promises are after. Number 10, so make the payments first, then acquire. And that means everything you buy is interest-free. It is interest. You're actually earning the interest you would have paid. In closing, I said a while ago, all of God's promises are like this. You pay, then you get. That's God's plan. Same thing's true about salvation. You receive Christ as your Savior, and then work and serve Him. And then at the end of life, you go to heaven.